We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Arthurs with the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merit Assembly of God, the saints that help support the work there. So far, we're still looking for that first partner that will help us with the airtime expense, but that hasn't happened yet, but we're going to continue pressing on anyway. Today we just want to bring you a bit of good news, and that is if you have a broken air conditioner, that there is a Christian, we actually have two Christian air conditioning companies in our church, but if you're in the central Brevard County, Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andrike, 759-3284. Can help get you back up and running. And so if that can be a blessing to you and help make you a cool person today, we would love for that to be a reality. Want to remind you about our 11 a.m. vintage service today as we continue working through the book of Isaiah. Some chapters we kind of haven't dealt with much. What we look for as we are going through the book of Isaiah is our passages that will speak to us in the day and time that we live. And a few weeks ago, I was in Isaiah chapter 26 and talking about it, the wicked, and it says, though they are shown grace, they will not learn righteousness. And I pray that you and I, that we do learn the righteousness that is ours in Christ Jesus. So that's what's going to be taking place at 11 tonight is Boys and Girls Ministry. And we are gearing up for our first of our two-part Sunday of back-to-school celebration and new school shoes, new tennis shoes for the first 50 kids that come this coming Sunday, July the 26th, as well as August the 2nd. So we're really excited and looking forward to a great outreach and being able to be a blessing on that day. So that's what's coming up. Also want to invite you out to our church services this week. Sunday morning, we will be having Sunday school at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and then our Sunday night service is at 6:30. So those are the things that are coming up in the days ahead, and would love to have you be a part of that. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 39 again today. Genesis chapter 39. I'm probably not going to read as large a text as what I did on yesterday's broadcast. Let me just begin reading with verse 16 and on down to verse number 20. Again, this is Genesis 39, verses 16 through 20. So she, Potiphar's wife, kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. So on yesterday's broadcast, we had talked about resisting the temptation, and yet Joseph found himself in a situation where the only option available to him was to run. The scripture admonishes us to flee from sexual immorality. It admonishes us to flee from the very appearance of evil. There are certain things that you are supposed to put as much distance between yourself and those sins as you possibly can. I remember hearing a story one time of a man, a very successful businessman, who was looking for a chauffeur. And he decided that he was going to interview several, and four of them rose to the top. And he said, I want to know about your driving ability. And he said, if you were driving on the edge of a cliff, how close to the edge of the cliff could you get with my family in the car and still maintain the ability to drive on the road? And the first person said, sir, I could get within a foot of the edge of the cliff and still be able to keep your family safe. And the second person said, I could get my tires right to the edge of the cliff. The third guy came in and he said, I could get my tires half over the edge of the cliff with only half of the outside tires being on side of the cliff, and I could still, you know, maintain control of the vehicle. And the fourth guy came in and he said, sir, if you were to hire me, your family would be so precious to me that I would not venture so close to the cliff. Instead, I would hug as close as I could to the mountainside or to the center line of the road. I would avoid the edge of the cliff with your family at all costs. Which driver would you hire? I would take the one who is not going to approach the edge of disaster intentionally, but instead is going to avoid it a great deal. I remember hearing a very long time ago a story that John Hagee told about an old guy that was probably in his 50s. That was a joke. who they had modified the traffic pattern on one of the streets that he traveled, and so they began to put up signs that said, we are going to be putting up a new stop sign here. And so they left those signs up for a week, and they finally erected the stop sign. And the old guy that was driving down the road, he had driven that road a lot of times, and he just blew right through the stop sign, and a police officer stopped him and said, sir, do you realize that you just ran through a stop sign? He said, well, that stop sign's never been there before. And he said, well, it is now. We've given you a warning. You need to stop. I'll just give you a warning this time and let you go. And he said, well, thank you very much. And he went on his way. And the next day he blew through the stop sign again. And the police officer pulled him over and stopped him. And he said, sir, you blew through the stop sign. And he said, no, I stopped. He said, no, you didn't. I was sitting there watching you and you blew right through it. And he said, I'm going to have to give you a ticket. And he says, fine, whatever. The third day, the guy blows through the stop sign again. They're having the same conversation. And he said, sir, you didn't stop at the stop sign. And he said, I slowed down. And he said, but you didn't stop. And the guy said, it's the same thing. And all of a sudden, the police officer began to take his nightstick out and began to hit him. And he said, now, do you want me to stop or do you want me to slow down? Jesus did not die on the cross for us to slow down our sinning. He died upon the cross so that we could stop it. And so you and I, we need to avoid those things. And if the only option is to run, then run. You've got to realize that Joseph as a slave, that he could have been killed. I mean, read a little bit later in Exodus. That's what happens when Moses is trying to deliver Israel, is he sees an Egyptian master and he is assaulting this Israelite slave. And Moses says, I can't stand by and watch my brother get abused like that. And he intervenes and the Egyptian is killed. You've got to understand, Joseph is in a no-win situation here, but he chose to retain his integrity and his righteousness before God, knowing that if he had sacrificed the other and kept his position, that there was a higher price to pay for that than there was leaving his clothes and running away. And so his wife, Potiphar's wife, keeps the garment, waits for Potiphar to come home, and she is working on this. And don't you know that she is rehearsing her lines? She has got to make this good. You see, because what is taking place now is, even though she has the evidence, I wonder if she has the character that would pass the test. You see, Joseph, it had been demonstrated his faithfulness at every level. He had demonstrated the presence of God. He had demonstrated the favor of God. That was what got him promoted in the first place. And I wonder about Potiphar's wife, whether she would be able to pass the character test or not. You see, character is not something that is out of style. It's not something that's antiquated. It is something that all of us still need. I was at a conference a little over a week ago, and they said morality is doing what is right. Character, let's see, morality is not doing what is wrong. Character is doing what is right. Morality is not doing what is wrong, and character is doing what is right. That's the way that they presented that. And you need both of those. If we're going to be people of integrity, we need both of those things. We need the morality that says, I am not going to do the wrong thing, but we also need the character that says, I am going to do the right thing. And so she is rehearsing this because I'm not quite sure she would have passed the character test. The scripture says that we need to develop such character that if we are accused of wrongdoing, that people would say, wait a minute, I know his character, and that just isn't the case. Now that doesn't mean that we go around and we do not operate with wisdom. There's a lot of people who have a good reputation, but in actuality, their character doesn't match up to their reputation. I remember going to this museum, and I won't tell you which museum, but they had this massive eulogy that had been delivered by this minister about how great this person was, what a tremendous Christian that he was. Only when he died, it was discovered that he had a completely other family. He had another wife and more children and all of that. He had been living a dual life, and yet people had an awareness that his character was very high, and in actuality, his character was very low. And by the way, I will tell you this, money does not equal character. Money does not equal character. So this woman, she develops her story, she presents it to her husband, and her husband, it says that his anger was aroused. His anger was aroused, and he took Joseph and put him into prison and placed him where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Okay? So there's two questions that I have as to Potiphar when he makes this decision. And the first one is this. Do you realize that when you have bought into the lie? By the way, there are some people who believe that the person that screams the loudest is the most correct. But I will tell you that is not always the case. Just because the media has the platform, just because they have the megaphone or the bully pulpit, if you will, does not necessarily mean that the view that they are presenting lines up with what God has to say. And so when a person who has actually caused the dilemma is the one who is crucifying the character of another person just to keep themselves out of trouble, I wonder if Potiphar realized that when he lashed out at Joseph, that he was literally cutting himself off from the very reason that God had blessed him in the first place. That's not me talking. That's what it says there in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit said that Potiphar's house was blessed because of Joseph. It was blessed everywhere. I'm just abundant blessing. And it was all traced back to Joseph and the presence of the Lord in Joseph's life. With that being said, I believe that the reason that America has been so blessed is not because of our great business abilities, although we truly have been blessed with great business strategies throughout much of our history. There's been a lot of technological breakthroughs, a lot of inventions. But I believe that the reason that a people are blessed is because they are in right standing with God. Benjamin Franklin said that when they were trying to install the Constitution, there was tremendous disagreement, and he spoke up and he began to call the convention into a time of fasting and prayer. You see, it's not because of the great political wisdom. It is because of the power of the presence of the Lord. And folks, we can't sacrifice that. And you know, there are people who are making decisions. There are people who are lashing out at modern day Josephs because we are standing for righteousness. And folks, there may be losses of liberty that come as a result of that, but I want you to know that that's okay. I would rather lose my liberty for standing for God's word and for God's people than I would to be free and be wrong. And so Potiphar makes a decision that cuts himself off, cuts his family off, cuts his wife off from God's blessings that had previously been theirs. So it makes me scratch my head and wonder, I wonder if Potiphar survived the next military campaign. I wonder if he survived the next round of job cuts. I wonder what happens when you intentionally lash out at God's people. Okay. The second question I have for you today is this, and these are just questions to make you go, I don't really have the answer because the Bible doesn't say what the answer is. But the question I have is this: how do you suppose that Potiphar and Potiphar's wife felt the day that Joseph was promoted to prime minister over Egypt, where in one day, the prisoner that Potiphar delivered to the king's prison had the roles inverted, and now Potiphar was no longer the master, Joseph was the one in charge. You see, it's very, very important that we remember to treat people the way that we want to be treated, not the way that our anger would have them treat. You know, it is okay to stop and count to 10. There have been situations in my life that I have had to deal with. And by the way, I don't necessarily like confrontation, but I'm not going to run from confrontation. Several years ago, we had a snake that was in our breezeway in between our two buildings. And here is what I have learned after 22 and a half years of pastoring, and that is this: women don't like snakes in the breezeway between the two buildings of the church. It just does not work well for them. And so I had parked my vehicle along the side, and I decided that that's where it was. It was a shady spot. And so I was parked there, and that's when I discovered this snake in between our two buildings. And so I began to try and usher the snake away. There was a vacant lot across the street, and so I was trying to usher him to safety in that vacant lot. And then he went right underneath my vehicle. And it's like, are you kidding me? You know, and so I got him out from underneath the vehicle, and I thought for sure he would go for the vacant lot across the street. But no, he didn't. He decided to round the corner and head on the other side of our building. And so I positioned myself between him and anywhere that he could have or could have been going. I think that he may have been a she at this point in time, because as I positioned myself at that point in time, then all of a sudden that snake just kind of, you know, if it had ears, this statement would apply, but peeled its ears back and just made a full headlong rush right towards me and went under one of our little fenced in areas. And I said, you know what? I bet that's a mama snake. And I bet that mama snake has some little snakes in there that she's wanting to take care of. And I was there and I said, you know what? We're going to let you stay there for right now. But you don't come in the building. You come in the building, and that won't go well for you. So I'm not afraid of confrontation. Not a person that I really enjoy it. And that's not just with snakes. That's with people. I can do it. I will do it. I have done it. But it's not my greatest thrill that I've ever had. And so, back to my question. How do you suppose they responded when Joseph was the one in charge of distributing the food? How do you suppose they felt when the wife is the one that is having to go up to Joseph and presenting a need, and then he knows her character? We need to remember that the role that we are in currently may not always be the role that we have. When I first got into ministry, I served as a youth pastor. I did not believe I had actually been called to be a youth pastor, but it was a learning experience. It taught me how to position myself in a manner to avoid sexual immorality and the very appearance of evil. I'm very grateful for those lessons. I really am. But what I did learn at that first place besides that was I learned this. I learned how I was treated as a staff person. And so when I became a senior pastor, I knew how I didn't want to treat my staff. I knew how I did want to treat my staff. And so I try to remember where I came from. I served again in Tulsa, in nursing home ministry. I served in Texas as an assistant pastor and a school teacher. I served in Melbourne, Florida. And everywhere I go, I try and remember lessons that I've learned there, positive and negative, because you know what? One day those roles may be reversed. And, you know, I just wonder what Potiphar and his wife thought the day Joseph got promoted. Well, let's move on for just a little bit. It says in verse number 20, then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. That is a major setback. And you know, you may be like Joseph and you said, you know, God had given me these dreams. Remember, that's what started all of this study was, you know, Joseph was an answer to prayer. May God add another. And now here Joseph is, and he survived the setback of his brothers selling him into slavery. And here he is, and he's facing another setback. And the, you know, I can almost hear the devil screaming in people's ears, see, you are nothing but a failure. You have failed again. But I want you to know that what God says is fear or failure isn't fatal unless you refuse to get back up. And I want you to know that God is in charge of every day of your life. Even when people mistreat you, God will not leave that unaccounted for. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And God was even in control of this setback, because the prison that Joseph got put into was not just any prison. It was a place where the king's prisoners were kept. And there were going to be some divine connections that took place there that were absolutely essential to get Joseph positioned where he needed to be. You know, one time I was working in this place and I'd done everything that the pastor had asked. And by the way, if everybody in the church has always treated you just wonderfully, congratulations to you. maybe you can teach a seminar someplace. But, you know, people who think that the church is full of perfect people, it's full of people that God loves. And so grace reigns there. And so I'd done everything the pastor asked, and it came time we were teaching in a school. And the beginning of the school year rolled around, and the pastor came to me and he said, "You've done everything that we wanted. You have done more than any person has ever done in lining up with our desires and wishes for this. But you are very ambitious about taking care of your family, feeding your son, and taking care of your wife. When the school year ended, you went out, you got a job, you took care of your family, and the rest of the staff, they did not do that. They are completely and totally dependent upon me or upon this school. And so as a result, we're not going to hire you back because you're already in a position to take care of your family." And at that point in time, I knew what it was like to have a major setback, because I felt like God was using that to call us into full-time ministry. But can I tell you that a little while later, I realized that God was Lord over the setbacks, and he used that setback to position us so that we resulted in Florida. The job I ended up getting was the job that caused us to come to Florida, and God positioned us appropriately to be at Merit Assembly of God. Don't let bitterness, I tell you what, take control over bitterness. It is true, bitterness and prison go together, but bitterness should not be in the heart of the prisoner. Bitterness should be in the prison cell, and you should allow Jesus to set the captives free. Can I just pray for you today? There may be some bad things that have happened to you, but for your sake, don't let bitterness reside in your heart and stay there. Get it out. Allow God to heal your heart and allow him to turn it around and make you a blessing in the days to come. Father, right now, I pray for every person listening to this broadcast. Lord, anybody who's had multiple setbacks, Lord, purge them of any bitterness. Purge them of any hatred that they might have towards you. Restore unto them a humble heart. And Lord, let them know, remind them and reassure them, you are in control and you do all things well. God bless you. Have a marvelous Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."